What's going on? Is that dude Darrell? Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. The Usos have officially split up onto separate shows. CM Punk is unemployed again. And MJF, a lot going on in his world title picture. It's time to roar around the ring. For those of you rejoining us, welcome back. For those of you joining us for the first time, this is Roar Around the Ring, breaking down everything in the world of wrestling, from WWE to AEW. Let's start with WWE. Darrell, we've been off for a couple weeks. A lot has happened, and I think we start with what is being talked about the most on both Raw and SmackDown still, and that is the Usos. Main event, Jey Uso, over to Raw now. Jimmy Uso still on SmackDown. Jimmy Uso still involved in the Bloodline, of course, the heel of things. Jey Uso is a fan favorite, but not a locker room favorite. First and foremost, it seems as if them putting them on separate shows, we're going to drag this out a little bit. We're not getting Jimmy versus Jey anytime soon. At least it seems like. Do you like that call, or do you wish they would have just went with it?
No, I like that call. I think you have to let that build. You know, the brother versus the siblings versus sibling, brother versus brother, whatever it is. You have to let that build up. It has to mean something when it happens. The hard part about that is having two interesting individual stories going on at once that ultimately lead there. That's a crapshoot.
I'm surprised they went this route. I'm glad. It was a surprising turn of events for me, because we talked about it when the turn happened at SummerSlam. How are you going to drag this out? Why would you waste this before WrestleMania? Survivor Series kind of made sense. What are you going to do? And this is really throwing both of them into the fire. Of course, we're leading to Jimmy versus Jey most likely at WrestleMania in Philly. But now we're going to see, can you guys pull off a singles run, right? Jey Uso as a face, Jimmy Uso as a heel. The one thing I don't love about this, and you know, we'll break down each storyline individually, is the fact that Jimmy Uso is still connected so tightly to the Bloodline, right? Solo and Heyman. Now he wants back in the Bloodline after not wanting in the Bloodline. Roman Reigns hasn't been seen since Jey moved over to Raw. Keep in mind, someone needs to get traded over to SmackDown since Jey got traded to Raw. I don't like that Jimmy is still so closely involved with the Bloodline. Jey, not only is he on a separate show, it was a big part of his story. Of course, they're still bringing it up, but it's causing him to have separate feuds. Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn's got his back. Kevin Owens doesn't trust him. Now the Judgment Day wants him in. So it's leading to Jey Uso being involved in other stories where Jimmy is just falling right back in with the Bloodline at this point.
Yeah, Jey's story makes the most sense here out of the two. Jimmy's doesn't, because you just brought it up. He had that whole thing where, one, he didn't want his brother to be like Roman,
right,
costing him the title at SummerSlam. And then it's the whole thing of he's out of the Bloodline. Now he wants back in. And it's a convoluted mess. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't know if they're just trying to ditch aspects they were going to go with.
Yeah.
But Jey's story is loosely attached to the Bloodline, but it serves a larger purpose with him being on Raw. So I like his trajectory a lot more.
Yeah.
Jimmy's, I don't really get what they're doing with him.
And I think with Jimmy, the one reason and excuse that WWE writing will continue to turn to is that it's family. And I get it, right? At some point, the Usos are probably going to get back together years down the line because they're twin brothers. Of course, families fight. We hear it all the time in wrestling storylines. Yeah, brothers fight, family fight, move on, and then we get back together. And that's fine. But it's so much back and forth from Jimmy within a span of 2 months, right? Even going before SummerSlam, right? Jimmy had Jey's back. Then Jimmy turned on Jey. Then Jimmy, after he turned on Jey, said, "It wasn't for you, Roman." And then he's like, "Screw the Bloodline. Solo, you can't tell me anything. Heyman, you can't tell me anything." And now he wants back in the Bloodline. But now Paul Heyman says, "We're not sure if we want you in the Bloodline." There's a lot of back and forth here, and that is going to hurt Jimmy Uso because, look, WrestleMania is still a few months away.
Yeah.
Right? We have a lot of time where Jey Uso, at this point, because he has the whole locker room against him, you now have a list of matches and feuds for Raw and pay-per-views that you can fill Jey Uso up with before you get him and Jimmy at WrestleMania, where Jimmy, at this point, is just solo and Roman. And if he ends up back with the Bloodline, is he just supporting Roman some more?
Well, even this also points out, it makes it more glaring now, what even is the Bloodline anymore?
Right.
I think if this is showcasing anything, it's also showcasing that it's probably time to start to really pump the brakes on this storyline. Because I think that you're getting to the point where really all that's left as far as that faction is Roman, Solo, and Haman.
Yeah.
That doesn't really sound like a group. It just, you know, it's Roman with his bodyguard and his manager.
Right.
So I think that it's showing, like, all right, the bloodline thing, we got to probably move on from this now, because Jimmy wanting, you know, like you just laid out that whole convoluted mess of where he's here, there, and everywhere. Jay has so much more to do.
Yeah.
His journey is going to be so much more interesting, at least you would presume now. Jimmy's is just, what's he doing? He's having a beef with the OC, and then he's trying to get back in the bloodline. There's right. not really anything too interesting there.
Well, and then the OC, we already got him and AJ Styles, so it's like we're not waiting for a payoff there. I thought John Cena, and we'll talk about Cena a little bit later, but like I thought John Cena might be, assuming he is sticking around for a few pay-per-views, and he was at Payback, like, Cena might have been a good match for Jimmy Uso. Right. Jimmy does not need to win these matches. I don't think anybody, I know a lot of people are high on Jay. Nothing against Jimmy. I don't think anyone expects anything too crazy out of Jimmy outside of getting to this Jay match.
Right.
Do you foresee Jay Uso holding a singles title at some point, though?
Definitely. I think that could happen if they want to go that direction. It would be fine because the fans would buy into it. It'd be believable because he's a fan favorite. I don't know who I'd want, which title I'd want him to have.
Right.
I definitely don't want him beating like Gunther or anything like that. So immediately I don't know which championship to give him, but it's believable.
I think it could happen. It doesn't happen until after WrestleMania. I think Gunther, you know, he just broke that title reign. I don't think he's IC champion come WrestleMania right. or after WrestleMania. So ideally it's someone that makes a little more sense for Jey Uso to beat. It definitely makes sense. The crowd's behind him, and he, at least a couple weeks on Raw by himself, has shown that he can survive without falling back on the Bloodline story or his brother. Jimmy, at least writing-wise, has not proven that to me. Real quick before we move on, because I mentioned earlier, Jey Uso got traded over to Raw. Someone's getting traded over to SmackDown. Who's that someone? We still haven't found out.
My speculation, and we talked about this when they announced it, my speculation is Cody.
Yeah, and that's a great turn of events because of how Cody got there, right?
Right.
Now, it's interesting because Cody's still doing plenty of things on Raw. They haven't told us when they're going to, you know, let us know who's over on SmackDown. I hope they don't wait too long without talking about it. But that seems like the obvious answer, and it would add to Roman's fuel. And then it gives everyone that Cody-Roman rematch that everyone wants at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was going to say, if WWE indeed is trying to do Roman-Cody 2, there's your avenue.
Right, right. Let's move on to AEW. Some news that came through a few weeks ago. Again, we've been off for a couple weeks. CM Punk fired by Tony Khan and AEW. This coming from the incident with him and Jack Perry at All In London. Jack Perry, by the way, still suspended, has not been seen on TV. Punk is unemployed yet again. Do you think this was the right move by Tony Khan and AEW?
I think so. I think it only took Tony Khan fearing for his life, apparently.
Right.
But yeah, why not? We had the same reaction. I think everybody probably did to that
I
video
feared
he put out.
For my
I
life.
I feared for my life. You know, not to mock
what
a man
did he
fearing
do?
His safety, but I don't
Come
think
on.
Punk was coming after him, you know, hunting him down or something. But
Phil had a match to do. He didn't have time to. What are we doing? Don't but, make me support Phil here, Tony. Come right. on, man.
There's no sympathy for Tony Khan here, huh?
Oh,
no? The man could have died, you know? Come on, pal. No, but so back to your question. I do think this was the right way to go. I think that they brought him back with all the hopes of it's going to be different this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we say, Phil's going to fill.
Yeah, Phil's going to fill. CM Punk's great for wrestling. Phil Brooks, unfortunately, is not, you know. And you see, you date back to when he left WWE a long time ago, and you could support it or not, but when you walk out on a company like that, Stone Cold Steve Austin has said it himself, I should not have done it the way he did it, right?
Yep.
No matter what gripe you have, whether it's valid or not, you do not, especially in a company like this, walk out of a company, of a show on the fans the way Punk did. I remember it was the night after the Royal Rumble. Punk's not at Raw. Punk was never seen again in WWE. You don't do that, and that just kind of showed the character that he is. And it is sad because CM Punk, everything he's done in AEW before his return, after his return, the you know we had some questions about the writing, but you know the real world champion, that was going to be a great story that was at some point going to you know come to a head with MJF most likely. there's a lot of great when it comes to CM Punk. There's not a lot of great when it comes to Phil Brooks. And Tony Khan knows this, especially after the first incident at the scrum, and he decided to bring him back yet again. He at the scrum, he showed who he really was. You were sitting right next to him, and that did not stop him from talking all the trash he did and causing everything he did with you right next to him. Whether you can blame Tony or not, I get it. I have myself. But when someone has the nerve to have your boss sitting right next to you and you don't care in front of the public, in front of thousands and thousands of people watching, yeah, to make him look like an idiot, that showed who he really was.
It's a blatant disrespect.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it was CM Punk in that, Phil Brooks in that moment saying, this guy has no anything over me.
Right.
I'm going to say and do what I want.
Yep.
And we've said time and time again, that would not have happened, nor would it happen.
Yeah.
Then or today.
Yep.
Under Vince McMahon or Triple H.
No, it wouldn't have. So kudos to Tony Khan for making this call, because this is a call.
I'm sure he didn't want to.
No, and yeah, he said it himself, he didn't want to. This is a call no one thought he would actually make, right? Even after the first incident, he just went to suspending him when a lot of people were like, I would fire him over that, right? And a lot of people just assumed when Punk got suspended here, that would be the extent of it. And, you know, Khan kind of proved us wrong, which, again, kudos to him to do that, because we know how much of a draw Punk is. We know not every fan is happy about that. It's interesting because some wrestlers, including Ricky Starks and others on social media, are still giving Punk his flowers and, you know, showing respect, which I appreciate because, of course, that's a coworker. In a situation like this, I don't know. I would kind of, like, stray away from that. I don't know if you should be highlighting him at all right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But at the same time, I mean, you know, these guys, it is like a family atmosphere in some respects, despite the turmoil you hear. So it's like your friends or whatever, you guys kind of are kind of on the road together, left and right, here and there. So you build a bond, and when someone gets fired or they're gone, you tend to recognize their contributions.
So does Punk return to wrestling anytime soon, do you think? And if so, is it AEW or is it WWE?
It would have to be WWE, at least in my mind. Anytime soon, I don't know if it's going to be. It would have to be round about the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting because the wrestling business specifically, and I'm sure other businesses you could say this, but with how cutthroat and political and, you know, intense the wrestling industry can be, it seems like if it makes money, it makes sense, right? And there's a lot of me that thinks absolutely nobody wants Punk in the locker room, even if Punk agrees to want to come back to WWE. But Survivor Series is in Chicago. And which, by the way, Tony Khan, you couldn't have waited till after All Out in Chicago to do the.
Do a match in Chicago, then fire him.
Tony Khan got booed out of the building before collision in Chicago. Just wait a couple days. It was the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Wait till after Labor Day.
It would have blown over. It would have been fine.
Survivor Series is in Chicago. I have a hard time seeing anyone not enjoying Roman Reigns winning whatever match he has at Survivor Series and Punk coming out on him to set up. In my brain, if Punk has a WWE return, he returns at Survivor Series to set up a match with Roman at the Rumble. He loses that match, and I think whether he enters the Royal Rumble match later that night or not, he takes the world title off of Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that's how I book it.
You know, you're right. It could be through the Rumble. It could be through Elimination Chamber if they go that route with it.
Yeah.
So I think as of now, you're probably not the only one saying it. I think there's probably a lot of fans who see that event coming up in Chicago, and they say, hey, why not?
Yep.
You know, and maybe there's some talk in the offices of WWE. I don't know if Triple H is open to that, but again, if it makes money.
Yeah, and that's it, because the person to me is like, yeah, I would not want him in my locker room. I would not want to work with him, and I completely understand if he never works in wrestling again. But every wrestling fan is lying if they find out that Punk is showing up at Survivor Series to confront Roman Reigns and you're not making sure you're watching. We know that to be true.
The CM Punk chants are going to be raining that night.
Yes.
So
Chicago
we already know that.
You're going to want to see that. Let's stay in AEW. MJF, still your world champion. A lot going on around him. Of course, retained against Adam Cole. They're still a partnership. Roderick Strong is not only has an issue with Adam Cole and him not being his friend, but also in the tournament to challenge MJF at Grand Slam at Arthur Ashe in New York, and Samoa Joe having an issue with MJF, a callback to his NXT security push.
Yeah,
All Out. Love that. And he is also in the tournament to potentially challenge MJF for the title. Between Adam Cole, the partnership, Roderick Strong, Samoa Joe, what's the most intriguing angle that MJF has going on around him right now?
For me, it's Samoa Joe. I think that not only because Samoa Joe and basically anyone you put him against presents that physical threat where you believe off the bat Joe is going to kill you.
Yeah. So,
And I think that matching promos, they can both be very vicious on the microphone. Yeah. And, you know, not to take anything away from Roderick Strong or Adam Cole, but if I want to see MJF in a title match where he could potentially lose it, it's Samoa Joe for me.
Yeah, I think the most intriguing for me, and it may be for a good reason or not, is Adam Cole at this point, because we've been predicting for months when the turn's going to be, what the turn's going to be, and at this point, we don't know if there's going to be a turn. And I think that's the most interesting for me, because it's like, if this actually turns into a legit friendship partnership that just carries on and they both move on from potentially turning on each other, good on them. And of course, whenever the turn does happen, we're going to feel it.
Right.
And the fact that Roderick Strong's in the mix, and that's annoyingly entertaining.
Yeah.
That's
a great way to describe
purpose.
Roderick Strong.
Yes. It's serving its purpose. Yeah. But with Adam Cole and MJF, it's gotten to a point where it's like, I'm kind of convinced they're not doing anything with that right now, which in the back of my head, I'm like, there's no way they're not. But I feel like a lot of fans are convinced and have moved on from every week, and in writing, we've moved on from every week waiting on one to turn on the other, right? We're no longer getting the Adam Cole considering it, MJF considering it. They both moved on, which is going to add to whenever it does happen, it's going to feel that, it's going to hit that much harder, right? It's going to be one of the better turns in AEW history, at least in terms of writing.
And that's where you say, have they moved on, or are we getting a false sense of security here?
And that's what you have to do in writing, right?
Right.
You have to give us that false sense of security. We're simple people. We will forget. If you don't talk about it for 2 weeks, I'll forget. I'll act like it was never a thing. And then when Adam Cole super kicks up, I'll be like, oh, my God, that's right. That's how wrestling fans work.
Okay, that's how you work.
That's how wrestling fans work.
Some of us wrestling fans like a little continuity in our storylines.
No, that's my thing, though. Like, if you make them just be casual partners for a few weeks, you're going to make us completely forget that they were potentially turning on each other a month ago.
They're brochachos, man. You got to
keep
that.
They're brochachos for life. And that's just, we're all in. Yeah. They're selling merch. I mean, it feels legit.
Yeah.
So kudos to them to go all in. That's no pun intended, or all out.
All out, all in.
All in, all out. But
all the way to the bank.
Wrestle Dream, by the way. Anyway, that one throws me off.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing pay-per-view names at this point. So, but that's why it's the most intriguing. Now, you think Samoa Joe is the most likely to take the title off MJF? I agree with you.
I guess the best chance, if they're going to make a title switch from MJF, Samoa Joe's the guy.
Samoa Joe's a guy that people have been begging to get his moment in WWE against Brock Lesnar years ago, since he's been over in AEW, and I'm glad they put a title on him in ROH, but he's the guy. I really do think that. I think Adam Cole and MJF have had too many matches for me to be okay with Cole being the guy at this point. And I don't see anyone else that hasn't already gotten their spotlight. Punk is now gone. I don't want Moxley back involved. No one right now I'd be okay with taking the title off MJF. But I would be okay, especially now that MJF is face, with Joe, cheating or not, being a heel, choking him out, and getting that world title.
Samoa Joe is kind of that weird hybrid of a performer where you want to root for him, even as a heel, going for the championship.
Yep.
And then you also want him to keep the championship.
Yep.
So it's strange, but he's, I wanted more from him and Brock outside of what was it, Great Balls of Fire? Speaking of pay-per-view names.
Pay-per-view names, yeah. We were just throwing stuff at the wall.
Great Balls of Fire. Gonna work, pal, come on.
It was a song, and they were like, oh, I like that song.
It's like, did Vince just like fire up his iPod, or he probably still had an iPod at that point. You know, yeah, I love that song, pal.
Yeah, man. All right, before we get out of here, again, we've been off for a couple weeks. A couple things to catch up on. The Judgment Day has all the gold at Payback. They got their Armageddon 2003 moment.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Evolution.
Evolution moment.
We're talking about. You like Judgment Day getting all this gold at once?
They should have it. They're the premier dominant group in WWE.
Yeah, I agree. Judgment Day, top to bottom, there's a lot of good, including Dominic Mysterio.
Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom. They have turned into a force.
Little Eddie.
With the bloodline breaking off a little bit, the Judgment Day has slid into that spot beautifully. Nia Jax is back in WWE, helping Rhea Ripley retain the women's title. You like seeing Nia back?
I howled in emotional pain when I saw her come out. And I said, why? Why do we need this?
My reaction was so bad that my better half Mia was next to me and genuinely checking on me. Like, are you okay? Like, it was that bad of a reaction from me. So, sorry.
People just have to understand. If you know, you know.
Zip. And I'm sure everyone in the locker room was like, okay.
Yeah. They probably had the same reaction.
Bryan Danielson announced on Collision that he's most likely entering the final year in his career for his daughter, a promise there. He's got a match with Zack Sabre Jr. at WrestleDream in October. What do you expect out of Danielson's final run?
I mean, if this indeed is the final run, I mean, just the, you know, we're probably not going to get any big title run from him, but a series of great matches. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less. I do think if you have a year, you put the TNT title on him for a few months. I think him and Christian Cage could put on a great feud and
that
a great
cool.
match. And you get 4 or 5 months of a title reign out of him. And then when he drops it, it's to Ricky Starks or somebody that, again,
kind of a pass the torch moment sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. World title run? No. TNT title is my limit with that final run.
I agree with that.
Becky Lynch is challenging Tiffany Stratton for the NXT title. Are you a fan of them sending her down?
I am not a fan of this. I feel like this does nothing for either, really. It does even less for Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
I think what this does for her and for NXT as a whole, that they've been kind of doing this, is the main roster people have to come in to make your show seem interesting. That's just kind of the vibe I get. I know that NXT has its hard, diehard followers, fans. I watch it. I think it could be better. I think that this is why they send main roster people over.
Yeah, I, for me, it's one of those things where, not to continue with the old adage of the roster split is completely unnecessary.
It is unnecessary.
This adds to it with NXT, but it also ruins call-ups for me because, again, before, call-ups used to be special,
yeah,
right? Because we never seen certain guys, you know, interact on the main roster with other people. Now we're constantly flushing people down to NXT and then bringing them back up. And for a star like Becky Lynch, what is this doing for her? She got through her feud with Trish Stratus. Move her on to the women's title picture. Move her on to a Rhea Ripley story.
Well, that's kind of what upset me because the whole – and we're going through this quickly, but the Trish Stratus feud went on longer than it should have.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, so it seemed like they really didn't know what to do with Becky Lynch. Now I feel like you still don't know what to do with Becky Lynch.
Speaking of Trish Stratus, Zoe Stark turning on her at Payback. Well, Trish kind of, you know, getting in her face. And
instigated
now Zoe
that,
Stark
yeah.
kind of teaming with Shayna Baszler. Are you liking this out of Zoe Stark?
Well, first off, I like that team up.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it can't last too long because someone has to pose another physical threat to Rhea.
Right.
On the same brand. I do like what Zoe Stark has actually been benefiting from being around, like, seasoned vet stars.
Sure, sure.
Especially Trish. And I think that this has really been good for her. And if she is, it's at the moment for her where only she's going to mess this up.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Zoe Stark. The one thing I will say is her finishing move needs to change. It's a great finishing move, but I don't think there's a realistic way to make it look believable.
Right.
Right? That finishing move on Trish, it looked very much like, okay, you ready? One,
yeah,
two, three, go. You can't, and that's like that's how you got to do it every time.
That's why the Stone Cold Stunner, RKO, Sweet Chin Music, yep. moves like that where you can just hit them with minimal yep. setup is perfect.
Yeah, and I think I don't like this for Shayna Baszler. I like the team, but I'm sick of them sticking Shayna Baszler in a women's tag division.
Yeah.
Put her in a women's title picture. Put her in Rhea's face.
Now, do you do that because believability-wise, she should be able to just choke out Rhea?
She turned on Ronda and said, I'm done. I want to be alone. And then
yeah.
3 weeks
she's
later,
right in the
she's with Zoe.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't understand yeah. that. Speaking of final runs, last thing, John Cena seems to be sticking around. Maybe a few more matches. Yeah. What do you want to see out of him before he's out?
I love seeing Cena here. I wonder if it's just more a result of the whole writer's strike thing. And probably. But
sure.
that aside, it's great to see him there. I think it does a lot for SmackDown. I want to see him go against Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if we can get another Edge match with him and Cena,
yeah,
let's do it.
I do think we have a dream match with either Edge, Miz, or if Randy Orton can come back before he's done. I think that's WrestleMania. I, at the very least, how I'm writing it is he beats Jimmy Uso on a pay-per-view, and
yeah.
that actually helps Jimmy, and then he puts Grayson Waller over on a pay-per-view. Those are my two
yeah.
ones.
Grayson Waller going over will do for Grayson Waller what should have happened for Austin Theory.
Roll Around the Ring is available every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. He's that dude, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.